All right, we're going to go right to our scripture this morning. If you're new, we're in the book of Malachi, and we're in the third chapter. And I'm kind of jumping around in the third chapter because there's all kinds of subjects that take place. But I'm going to read the white, and you read the yellow. But who can endure the day of his coming? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap.
As a refiner and purifier of silver.
He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver,
that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness, and he will come here for you to judge.
I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien,
because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts.
For I am the Lord, I do not change.
Therefore I will not come, O sons of Jacob.
Pretty interesting scripture for this morning, isn't it? You know, I bet the Levites, when they listened to Malachi and heard that they wouldn't be consumed, I bet you they partied. You know, because you never, you know, a lot of times you hear a doomsday type prophecy, but I think it shows the wonderfulness of God when he says he's going to refine them as gold and silver so that they can give offerings of righteousness. And you know what? I think we feel the same way. And we should, because we go through the refiner's fire, or are going to. We do now, and we're going to, and I'll explain that. So there's a real parallel here. When we talk about the Levites, we have to look at ourselves as well, because it's a very principled thing that God's going to do. He's going to refine us as well as refine Israel. Now, last Monday, early in the morning before I woke, I either thought or dreamed that God was evaluating me in that dream. That's happened often in my life. And Elihu says this to Job, and I really hang on to this because it makes so much sense to me. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. Now, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? That we sleep, and there are times when God teaches us the word. And I think it was last week or the week before I talked about how, when I was preaching on finances, when will you rob God, he also... I remember waking up, or I was still being asleep, and God teaching me about 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I didn't even know I knew it. And yet, in my mind, I was going through verse by verse, and part of it was to calm my soul, because I hated being full-time, being paid by the church. It was just so hard on Debbie's and my soul for a while. And I think the Lord convinced me, it's okay, Steve, it's okay. You know, and here, he's saying that he opens our ears and seals the instructions that we need to hear. And that's what it felt like to me. And so I was in contemplation, evaluating my life, my current life, and my relationship with the Lord. And in the morning, I came to grips with the idea that I have too casual of an attitude about acting out righteousness. That was one of the things, because, you know, we stop and we love righteousness and that kind of thing, but to be and act out his righteousness. And I had a casual attitude about my commitment to serve God and do his work. And so I spoke back in this sleep, and I said, well, God, I'm faithful in what you asked me to do. Referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, which says, moreover, it is required in steward and servants that one be found faithful. But this wasn't about being faithful. It was more that I had to ask the questions to myself, do I revere what you revere, Lord? Are you following what I'm saying? Do I love righteousness like you love righteousness? Or am I coasting rather than pursuing you, God? So it's easy to go through the motions, and I had forgotten about the freshness of honoring my commitment to purposely act out his righteousness. And I woke up kind of stunned, realizing that I'd become complacent. I had been satisfied with averageness. And that I wanted more. I wanted freshness with God, more time spent with God, refreshing my commitment to him. Now, do you understand what I mean when I say freshness? You know that time when you're in a relationship with God and it's just fresh. Actively walking with God, knowing that I'm in his will and communicating through prayer with him as I go, talking back and forth, and at the same time, feeling personal with God, believing that we are in partnership together. God and I are partners. Doesn't that sound kind of cool? We're partners together, accomplishing his will as a team. And maybe to help us understand, put the mirror up, the opposite comparison may be walking in the sludge of daily life, right? When we are not alert to what God wants from us, but we do know what we want from him. So maybe I can explain it this way. Yesterday I came in a bit early. I have a class at 8 o'clock. And so I came in a little bit early, and I made myself a hot cup of coffee, okay? And it looked good. And man, I'm telling you, it smelled good. You know what I'm saying? And so I went for a sip. It was lukewarm. I hadn't heated it up enough. That's water, so don't get scared. Okay. It wasn't hot enough. Now, I don't know how you feel about lukewarm coffee, but I'm not into it. Okay, I've seen people that drink it even cold, you know, where it's gotten on the sat on the counter, it's gotten cold, and they just keep on drinking. I've tried to do it. I just can't do it. It's got to be hot, you know. And so, yuck, it's not satisfying at all. And just like lukewarm coffee, we cool off and slowly morph into passivity as Christians, which I have to believe that God absolutely dislikes. As he told the church in the Laodiceans, he says, "I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Boy, that's a little ugly, isn't it? Now, it doesn't mean they lose their salvation. They don't become a church anymore. We as Gentiles always go there first, okay? Is that he wants to spew them out of his mouth because they're not active with him. They're just passive. And boy, our passivity is like the Levites in Laodiceans. We look more at the world around us and listen to God, and we assume we're following him, but are we really? So we celebrate things like revenge and movies, thinking it's godly, and it totally gets what God wants. Or dislike and judge other people's actions, maybe to help us feel better about ourselves. We decide that minor sin is okay. It's just the major stuff we got to look out for. Or we adjust the facts in our heads so they feel better. But listen, we are to be his church. Amen? We're to be his church. We're not just to be observers in passivity. We're to be his church. And the church represents love. It represents patience and kindness and honesty and goodness, supporting each other in prayer and looking out for each other, not just ourselves. We are the church. Do you hear me this morning? We are his people, and he works through us. And he has asked us to serve others. but to do it with a fresh love. And so we can't be passive. We can't be serving God with disinterest. It's so easy for all of us to push God's instructions aside, kind of ignore it in our mind and get on with our life, when we really know that the Holy Spirit is examining our hearts. You know, I was thinking about, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about last week as we did the Lord's Supper, and I quoted a few verses from it, but when we get a little bit farther, verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says this: "But let a man examine," and when he says examine, it means to test it and approve himself, "and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner," that's not loving others according to the context, "eats and drinks judgment to himself, not thoroughly discerning," that's what the word means, it means thoroughly discerning, "the body." The Lord, I have Lord's in there, but it actually isn't in the original, because he's talking about the body of Christ. "For this reason, many are weak and sick or feeble among you, and many sleep." Now listen to this, because this is going to be core to what we're talking about today. "For if we would thoroughly judge or examine ourselves," what? "We would not be judged." Oh, let me read that again. "For if we would thoroughly judge or examine ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord." That means, when it says chastened, it means childlike instruction, "that we may not be condemned with the world." So there's an immediate judgment from God. Is this wire driving you crazy? Yes. No? Okay. It's driving me crazy. I'm going to put it down my shirt. As anybody else. Okay, all right. Here we go. All right. Now, is that better? Okay. I just realize every time it starts going over my shoulder, I see people looking at it. So I have to take those away so you can hear the real message today. The real message isn't not tuck it in. Okay. The real message is judgment. Okay. So let me just go over that and listen to this. "For if we would thoroughly judge or examine ourselves, we would not be judged." Interesting. "But when we are judged, we are chastened," we are as a instructing a child by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So there is this immediate judgment, and if we refuse to evaluate ourselves, he will do the judgment for us and tell us. Like in my dream on Monday, God had to go to instruct me because I'm not listening. Do you hear me this morning? It's what God will do to the Levites, and what is exactly the thing that he will do to us, but he's doing it right now if we don't critique ourselves. So he says, "For he is like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify, and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi." So I want to put this into us, okay? So let me go back with three. "And he will sit as a refiner and purify, a purifier of silver, and he will purify you and purge you as gold and silver, that you may offer the Lord an offering in righteousness." So I guess the question I have for you is, are we committed to freshness in him? Are we after what he's after? Or are we after what we're after? The key question probably is, does he have our heart? Does he have our heart? Or are we occasionally slipping away, as did the Levites in Malachi's day, as did the people in the church of Laodicea? And I need to warn us today, because this is our passage. You gave me permission, right? That what's supplied to the Levites is really the same application to us. I don't think my awakening on Monday was coincidence at all. You may listen to it and go, yeah, whatever. Not me. I felt like God was really whispering in my heart. And it was revealed to me, and I think it's revealed to you, that God loves us, and he is also asking for our heart. And he's asking us to stand up for Jesus Christ and not compromise, not be passive, stop ignoring his inner voice, to be active in our commitment to him. And so I want to explain judgment when our life is finished on earth to show the parallel of our scripture today. And I want to read a couple verses before I do that. Romans 2:16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Did you get that? Our secrets. Boy, I don't want those exposed to you. Romans 14:10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know, when I read that, do we realize what God's saying here is, why in the world are you trying to judge your brother and condemn him for the things he's going to do? Because you're all going to stand before me. He's going to stand before me. You're going to stand before me. So why are you judging him? God's going to straighten it out. Do you hear that? We're going to find justice, and he's going to find justice. 2 Corinthians 5:9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Well, I've struggled over that verse for a long time, and I'm going to read some other scripture to kind of answer that. So I've got to bring reality into this judgment of ours, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 11, if you have your Bible so you can look at it, because I believe we take it too lightly. I don't know how many times I've even preached on judgment. I know it's there, and we mention it, but it seemed to me that it was really appropriate this week, at least in my life. And I believe we concentrate on the positive side, and we are loved by God, and we're under grace, and we're not under law, and our salvation is secured, and we're sealed with his promise, and praise God for that. Amen? Amen. We're not talking about salvation here. But the other side is that we will be judged, we will be evaluated as well for what we do in this body for Christ. So go with me for a second before we start reading this. In your mind, and you're in heaven, and you're standing before Christ, are you alone? Yeah. Now, I don't know if there's a big heavenly host listening. I hope not. Right? But go with me and have that in mind as we read this. And then I think it'll be easier for us to contemplate what Jesus might say to you and to me. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There we go. Jesus Christ, our foundation. How many of you know Jesus Christ? You don't need to raise your hand. Well, yeah, go ahead. You know, feels good, doesn't it? Yes, I see those hands. Okay. Judgment isn't about salvation. It's about living out his will on earth and bringing justice to it all. All things will be brought to justice. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, each one's work will become clear, for the judgment day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, if you apply the refiner's fire to gold and silver and precious stone, what occurs? It purifies. It makes gold pure. It makes silver pure. It makes the precious stones clear without junk on it. And you remember our passage, he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them with gold and silver. And isn't Paul saying the same thing here? Gold and silver are good works that were done by the heart, loving people, loving others with the pure motive, serving Christ as the focus, doing what God has told us to do with a good heart. That's gold and silver and precious stones. What's wood, hay, and stubble? Well, wood, hay, and stubble is actions taken in selfishness, appearing to do good and look good, but doing it for the wrong reasons, the wrong motives, trying to find gain, but covering it up so that we look and act and talk like a good Christian, but we're really doing it for ourselves. It isn't for Christ. So can you understand why God says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged? Makes sense, doesn't it? If we judge ourselves now and critique ourselves now, and we listen to our mates and we listen to our friends, and we make those changes in our life, we won't have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ in those areas because they'll already be taken care of. In other words, let me just put it in our term. God gives us first shot at our own refiner's fire. And if we don't take that shot, he will. So we can change now. We can examine our hearts. We can ferret out our motives and make sure that they are righteous and that they're not selfish. That's why Paul yells, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death?" Because he's so sick of himself in that passage. Verse 14. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, the foundation of Christ, meaning endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of reward. Because we get reward for those things that last, and we don't get reward for those things that didn't. But he himself will be saved, so yet is through fire. What a loving God. And I say that because he could have right from the beginning thought, you know, I made a mistake making man. Poof. And gone on to another deal. But he didn't. He loved us. And he will set things right. Yet he loves us throughout eternity. He even calls us the trophies of his grace. God is about lovingly purifying us. He wants us to be like him. But we are in this body of death. Amen? And this body of death is attracted to stupid stuff when you get down to it. Stupid, stupid, stupid stuff. And we sucker for it, and then we think, why did we sucker for that? And when we look into Scripture, Paul had the problem, the apostles had the problem, everybody had the problem except Christ. Paul even said, but I discipline, I keep in control my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself would become disqualified. Meaning that if he's playing around with sin and messing around, how can he preach to other people? He disqualifies his testimony. So Christians, don't be fooled. There will be a judgment. And either you do it or he will. But he's going to set things right. Now, I want to put this into church concept. What if we became the fresh church? We became the church that really examines our hearts and looks at our hearts, and then our offering is righteousness that we can go and talk to people and help people and do the things we need to do that God is putting on our mind and in our heads and in our heart. What would it be like to have harvest fresh fellowship? Just once. I'd love to see that, wouldn't you? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning, Lord, just a little humiliated maybe, kind of pressed into conviction, because a lot of times in our Christian lives we sleep rather than being fresh. A lot of times we are not looking to what you want and wanting to do what you want to do, but we're wanting to do what we want to do, and we smooth it over and make it sound good. But Lord, we really, really need your help. We need you to talk louder, because sometimes we can't hear. We need you to be direct with us. And Lord, then we need the strength, your strength, because we're too weak, Lord. We need your strength to change. And you even said in Psalms 37 that you would bring our righteousness out as the noonday sun. And so, Lord, I just pray for us as a church, for us as individuals, that we will be able to walk in that righteousness as you have designed us to do. And that we can say no to sin. We can say no to covering things up or confusing things. Lord, it isn't confusing at all. And may we be yours this morning from here on out, having that commitment to serve you with all our soul, mind, and strength.